Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the show. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Laura Kicka from Michigan, and I hope everyone is...
Yes, glad to be here tonight. I'm glad you could tune in, and thank you for subscribing to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And also checking out our new website where articles will be coming soon and other, you know, breaking news and what have you will be coming to this new website. You know, it's such a sad day in America today because in Mississippi recently, last Friday, there was another mass shooting, 6 people dead. Joe Biden and other news, Joe Biden took a trip to the front line in Ukraine, surprising everybody. And has pledged $500 million to Ukraine to fight the Russians who invaded them. It's been over a year now, and Russia's still going on with their shenanigans. And the United States, through Blinken, the Secretary of State, has said that if China aid Russia, that would be crossing the red line. So are we close to World War III? What is happening in the world? The world is burning. And speaking of burning, in East Palestine, Ohio, there was a derailment. Norfolk Southern Railway spent $14 billion lobbying Capitol Hill. And, you know, the lobbied Capitol Hill to get preferential treatment. All they care about, like a typical corporation, was their financial bottom line, not giving a damn about their workers and workers' rights and giving them pay that they deserve and even sick time. The greed has fueled them as they disregarded workers' rights and safety concerns. The top brass were warned from time and time again, but everything fell upon deaf ears, and now here we are. There was a terrible accident about 4 or 5 days ago, and the mainstream media has done a piss-poor job in reporting what has happened in East Palestine, Ohio, as Norfolk Southern Railway tracks derail, causing major environmental damage, putting residents in the community and those in close proximity in major health peril. This is Flint, Michigan all over again, as water supplies has been poisoned, killing wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too early to say what impact it has had or going to have on human beings in the coming days and months? Already, Republican Governor Mike DeWine and other Republicans have told residents to return to their homes and not to worry. But how can mm-hmm. these chemicals burned in the derailments is known to cause cancer and other, you know, diseases that, you know, can really kill people. So where do we go from here as East Palestine, Ohio, and neighboring Darlington Township in Pennsylvania reels from the strained derailment? It's like Chernobyl catastrophe back in 1986 all over again. Norfolk mm-hmm. Southern went around testing residents' homes on a condition that they signed a waiver not to sue them in the future.
Yep.
Some signed while others refused to, and good going for the people who refused to. So again, mm-hmm. thanks for joining us. Call us in at 515-605-9802 to have your say. Turn off all your TVs, or it can cause a terrible feedback when you're on air. And it's just come on into us as a host and to the listeners who, you know, tune in. Say first name, where you're calling from. And again, subscribe to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 and check out our new website, where blog articles will be coming soon. The blog, the new website is kitchenpolitics123.com. So this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Lori, what's top on the agenda? It's open mic night. We talk about anything, but of course, you know, the Norfolk Southern Railway derailment that caused a catastrophe in East Palestine is on everybody's lips.
Yeah, it's such a tragedy for these people because hazardous material, you know, what they did was I think they tried to contain it and they caught it on fire. And when they mm-hmm. caught it on fire, that just all the chemicals they tried to control it, I guess, when it spilled. And then it caught on fire, which made things worse. And you're right. It's a chemical disaster. And nobody knows, you know, what it's going to do to you physically. Some people are already complaining that their throat is burning. They're afraid to drink the water. What it released was hydrogen chloride and phosgene in the air. And the residents within a mile of radius were evacuated, and emergency response from agencies in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia were initiated. The U.S. federal government sent the EPA there, the Environmental Protection Agency, Michael S. Reagan, to provide assistance on February the 16th. Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned Flint, Michigan, and you just don't know. They said that the water is, the residents that have actually looked at some of the streets down there, the water that the residents have, you know, looked at in the streams, they said that it's got oil in it. It's like an oil slick, and they don't trust mm-hmm. it. I've trusted either. So I'm not sure how they're going to handle this. It's an environmental disaster, just like you said, David.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I just don't understand how, you know, things like this that come about, you just have to try to figure out, you know, what's best for you. I know that they set up an emergency clinic. I don't know if that's going to do anything, you know, in that area for people that are complaining of, you know, the different ailments. They're going to open it up. There's growing health concerns over the train derailment
mm-hmm.
and the Ohio Department is launching a clinic in East Palestine on Tuesday to address mounting health concerns among residents after a train derailment prompted the North Fork Southern officials to release and burn toxic chemical in the area to avoid explosion. So I guess they set it on fire so it wouldn't explode, but they made things actually worse.
Yes, they did.
You know, so that part is
East Palestine residents demanding answers, and instead of the train company, Suffolk Southern coming to this meeting to try to calm people down, they didn't show up. Politicians on the local level and on the federal level came and tried to soothe and comfort the people that are affected by it. And it seems like, you know, the train company, people are going around to the different houses and ask them to sign a waiver. And if they do sign this waiver, they have no leeway to sue them on a future date because of what happened with this chemical and everything.
You know,
I think that's a preposterous. You know, how dare this company spent $14 billion in trying to, like, you know, get rid of their what do you call it now? That's why we need, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out. You know, when the gutter Capitol Hill, say it again?
Mm-hmm.
We need regulation, that's the word.
Are you talking about lobbyists?
Yes.
Lobbying?
Yes. I spent $14 billion lobbying and, you know, against regulations since 2017 when Donald Trump was president. And it's fascinating that people that are affected in this community are blaming Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, the transport secretary, for what has happened because it wasn't their fault. Specialized brakes, according to, you know, the law that was passed, are needed on trains with chemicals like this, you know, toxic chemicals.
Yep.
But, of course, you know, it costs more money to them and cut into their profits. So they ignored it totally. So this is what happened. We have ABC News, you know, I have a report here now, a two-minute report, and the residents demanding answers. And here it is.
On the ground in East Palestine, Ohio, more than 2 weeks after that fiery train derailment, toxic chemicals leaking into the air and water. Federal health officials also heading to the region as residents are growing increasingly frustrated, demanding answers. ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi in Ohio tonight.
Tonight, a FEMA arrived in East Palestine, Ohio. Residents increasingly anxious 2 weeks after that fiery train derailment and toxic chemical spill.
I am asking that they trust the government. And that's how we know that there's a lack of trust.
While the Environmental Protection Agency maintains that the air and water are safe.
Watch this. To speed at chemical.
Republican Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio visited Leslie Run, a local stream, tweeting video of what he describes as pollution in the water.
I've had massive headaches since it started.
And locals say they're feeling the effects of the toxic chemicals, which include known carcinogen vinyl chloride, a colorless gas used to make some plastics and also produced in tobacco smoke. Chris Ammon says he bought this property so that his grandchildren could play in the creek.
I ain't putting them in it this year. I don't know if I'll ever put them back in it.
Some have left their homes entirely. Christina Ferguson moved into a hotel because at home, she says the water just isn't right.
You get a tingling in your arms and on your legs, heaviness in the chest. It's not a headache, it's pressure, it's dizziness.
And the CEO of Norfolk Southern is in East Palestine today meeting with local residents in a bipartisan effort. Both Ohio senators wrote a letter calling on the state and federal EPA to ensure regular testing for toxic chemicals. Also, former President Donald Trump announced today that he will visit the area on Wednesday with.
Yeah, I hope Donald Trump, when he visits Wednesday, jump in one of the rivers and basically die. Because it was under his administration that you know, regulations were lifted and you know, relaxed. So Joe Biden has nothing to do with this. It's not his problem, or it's not his is not his fault, I should say.
Right. You know, I mean, we know that accidents happen, but you cannot roll back safety concerns. You cannot roll back things like that because these trains have dangerous chemicals on them, and these corporations, you know, transport them, yes. And the thing is that we have to be safe with them. And if you roll back, you know, policies, and if you roll back, you know, things to protect the workers, you know, safety regulations, et cetera, this is what's going to happen. And now we have an environmental disaster. And you know what else bothers me is that we have Marco Rubio, and he has called for Buttigieg, you know, Mayor Pete, you know, Pete Buttigieg, to ask him to resign following the Ohio train derailment. Senator Marco Rubio, Republican, of course, of Florida, is calling for Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg to resign coming under fire for the department's oversight of the U.S. rail system following a train derailment in Ohio that has spilled toxins into the environment. He went on to say, Secretary Buttigieg refused to acknowledge the disaster in East Palestine, Ohio, until his intentional ignorance was no longer attainable, Rubio said in a letter addressed to President Biden, urging him to request for Buttigieg's resignation. Even after acknowledging the tragedy, he continues to deflect any accountability for the safety of our nation's rail system, Rubio added. This is like, you know, outrageous, because these are the people that don't want regulations. These are the people that don't want safety hazards to be, you know, put upon these corporations, these companies. And it's not just for trains, it's for everything. And it saves the corporations money, of course, and causes death in the meantime and destruction.
Exactly.
And then you have people like Rubio who flaps his mouth, and it's none of his business to say anything. He's in Florida. What the hell does he care? It's not his job.
And of course, you can't expect Marco Rubio to politicize this, and instead of, you know, coming together and trying to offer solutions, Rubio and whomever else may come on the Republican side and try to cast blame, or the blame should be casted on Donald Trump's administration for relaxing those
regulations.
There you go.
Yeah.
So this is Pete Buttigieg's response to Republican criticism.
Horrible situation has gotten a particularly high amount of attention. There are roughly 1,000 cases a year of a train derailing. Obviously, they have levels of severity. Now, this train was subject to certain enhanced requirements because it had the materials on board. But obviously, none of that prevented what happened in East Palestine. It's one of the reasons we're going to be paying very close attention to the findings that MTSB comes back with. EPA has already sent a letter notifying, in a formal way, notifying Norfolk Southern of its responsibilities. Obviously, I can't get ahead of an investigation that is active and ongoing, but Norfolk Southern will have to answer to EPA for the environmental side. And to our department, if there were any violations of rules that were found, while this horrible situation has gotten a particularly high amount of attention, there are roughly...
Yeah, so that's Pete Buttigieg saying that an investigation is ongoing. And, you know, they have to answer to the EPA and the Department of Transport. Ohio train derailment. The residents are advised not to drink bottled water. And here's a report. Ohio lawmakers holding special discussion. And they had a special town hall meeting. And here's a clip.
Concerns of air and water safety in East Palestine, where just 12 days ago a train derailed, spilling hazardous materials. Well, tonight at 7 East Palestine, EPA and other officials will be holding a special town hall meeting at the East Palestine High School gym to hear from the community about their concerns.
And there are a lot of concerns. Democratic Ohio lawmakers are also holding a discussion this afternoon to talk about the agricultural and environmental concerns and possible policy solutions. And those health concerns have been ongoing since the derailment. One of the biggest concerns is water quality. Is it safe for people who live there to drink?
Well, there have been conflicting reports. So for more on this, we turn to Austin Love, who is now live. Austin, good morning.
Yeah, hey, good morning to you both. It's been 12 days since that train derailment, and the mistrust between residents and officials continues to get worse. On one hand, state officials are assuring residents that the risk to the drinking water is low. But then on the other hand, they are advising people to use bottled water. This as they wait for more test results to come back. But yesterday, in a press conference, Governor Mike DeWine and Ohio Department of Health Director Dr. Bruce Vanderhoff had very strong words for the train company, but as also sending a message of reassurance to the residents there. They say that the air is safe and that the risk to the drinking water is safe as well.
Yeah, so I hear DeWine saying that the air is safe and the drinking water is safe. What buffoonery. You know, what silliness. Do not sign any liability waivers against Norfolk Southern or any other parties responsible for the horrific chemical disaster. You know, don't do it, people, if you're listening out there in Palestine, Ohio. Please, you know, help get word out that these victims can get justice one day. But if you sign that waiver, then you have no recourse, you know, in terms of getting justice when you sue the hell out of them. You know, these chemicals have, you know, seeped into the ground. It has it's only a matter of time before the chemicals are also drained from the ground around the cities and the Ohio River. This is the possibility of affecting 30 million people in the community and surrounding communities. So for the people in that town, if you feel your eyes watering or tingling in your throat, it's possibly not safe to be there. Get out of there, as far away from there as possible. You know, go to a hotel somewhere out. You know, this is a chance, you know, to have lasting effects. You get cancer. You get other, you know, diseases that would kill you eventually. You know, the animals have been dropping dead left, right, and center.
Yes, they have.
You know, how sad. Yeah. This is sad, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll have three callers online. So we take them one at a time. Hello. I'm frazzled today. I'm just so annoyed at what's happening in Ohio.
Yeah.
You know. Elaine calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine.
Good evening. You brought up a good point. They spent $14 million on lobbyists.
Billion.
Well, why don't they take another $14 million and relocate people in that town? It's a small town. They can relocate them.
Elaine, it's not million. It's billion. $14 billion to spend.
Oh, billion. Well, that's even better. They definitely could even relocate the businesses.
Yeah.
You can spend it on lobbyists. You can spend it on the people. And don't these train people have insurance? Or the insurance company isn't going to pay off or what? I mean, is this the insurance game also? Where the insurance company says, well, it's not my fault, so we're not going to pay? I mean,
are you talking
every disaster, it seems like it gets compounded with the same old, same old. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
The people are starting to get fed up with it.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, if they can spend $14 billion on lobbyists, they can relocate the whole town.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, you know,
put a fence around this town until these chemicals and stuff finally dissipate, which is going to take probably 20, 30 years, like Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah. Think about the farmland. Think about the farmland also. You know, the animals, the farmland, everything. You know, everything is chemical. It has chemicals in it. And these are deadly chemicals. These are not just chemicals that will dissolve into the air. They are just, these are deadly chemicals. And
well,
yeah,
on every tree, every bark, every leaf.
Yeah.
When it rains, as David said, it's going to start seeping into the wells, because I had heard a story that they weren't worried about it because it was well water. Well, excuse me, but that water table is eventually going to get those chemicals.
Of course it is. Absolutely. What's very sad is they think that the public is stupid, that we just don't understand. They think that once they say the water is safe, just like they did in Flint, Michigan, that people should just believe them. It's bullshit. It's not true. It's still not safe in Flint, Michigan. Sorry to say.
It's not safe.
That's what, 9 years now? Come on.
Yep.
And the other thing that upsets me is that I don't know if all of you heard about the reporter that was in during a press conference. This was 6 days ago, though. He was in a press conference, and the governor, DeWine, was speaking, and he – so the – I'll just read what it says, because it makes me so angry I get – because it's called free speech, First Amendment free speech, right? So there is a new video that's been obtained by WKBN that shows what led up to the reporter's arrest during a press conference in East Palestine last Wednesday. WKBN requested the video from the East Palestine City School District. Surveillance videos from the elementary school gymnasium where the press conference was being held shows two angles of what led up to the arrest of the reporter, Evan Lambert. Lambert had been reporting on the East Palestine train derailment as a correspondent for News Nation. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine was speaking in the gymnasium during a press conference that started 2 hours later than initially scheduled. Lambert was giving a live report, during the News Nation's rush hour, when he was told by law enforcement personnel at the news conference to be quiet because DeWine had started speaking. Lambert finished the report, the live report, but was then asked to leave by authorities who tried to forcibly remove him from the event. An affidavit claims the man in charge of Ohio's National Guard, Mayor General John Harris, confronted Lambert over his loud reporting, and that two highway patrol troopers, along with Harris, went back and advised them to stop that reporting. The affidavit accuses Lambert of being involved in an altercation with Harris during the incident. A statement from Harris says Lambert was aggressively lurching at him and screaming that you guys are the ones who strung this thing out. Video of the incident from the gymnasium appears to show Harris push Lambert in the chest, leading law enforcement to surround the men, separating Harris from Lambert. The video then shows a heated conversation between Lambert and the law enforcement before officers grab Lambert and escort him into the hallway, where video from the reporters at the scene show them taking him to the ground in handcuffs. A statement issued to WKBN from the East Palestine Police Department says officers attempted to de-escalate the situation by asking Lambert to step outside. Lambert refused, saying he was doing his job and wanted to listen to what DeWine had to say. After Landon was taken into custody, DeWine spoke out during the Wednesday's press conference and said he didn't personally order the arrest. I mean, if you watch the video, he was doing a live report. DeWine was not talking at the time. The governor was not talking at the time. And Lambert was doing a live show because it was called Rush Hour, and that's what he was doing, and he was waiting for it to begin. And then they proceeded to tell him he was too loud. And he got pushed, and when you see the video, He's laying on the floor with his hands behind his back in cuffs. So,
welcome to Nazi Germany. I have the video clip here, a one-minute video clip.
Yes.
I hope people hear it well. This is from WKYC, Channel 3,
yep.
A CBS affiliate. Yep. Here it is.
Well, something that happened at Governor DeWine's East Palestine News Conference today. A reporter for the News Nation channel, during the event, was arrested by local police. News Nation says the reporter, Evan Lambert, was told by local officers to stop his report because they thought he was being too loud. They say that led to a discussion. Then officers led him out of the building and arrested him.
You're being too loud.
He reached out to East Palestine police but have not heard back, but there is late word tonight that Lambert was released in the past hour. During the news conference, Governor DeWine was made aware of what happened and said he did not see the incident, but said, quote, if someone was stopped from doing that, as in doing the reporting for the event, or told they could not do that, that was wrong, end quote. The governor also issued a statement tonight saying he has always respected the media's right to report live before, during, and after his press briefings.
Yep, so there you have it, DeWine. DeWine said he wasn't, for the police doing that and everything. I mean, how dare they? Who the hell do they think they are? People trying to report on everything and, you arrest them? On what grounds? But anyway, we have a call from California. Hello, California. Welcome to the show. What's your input tonight? You're live on here, California. Okay, I guess a new person will speak. Hello. We have another call from Michigan. Hello. Susan,
hi. How are you guys? It's Susan.
Oh, hi.
I didn't
get hooked up at the very beginning, so I don't know if you got that thing about the brakes, the electronic control pneumatic brakes that they discovered in 2017. Did you know about those? And that Obama put them in. They were required by Obama in 14, and then our lovely Trump reversed it all in 2018.
Yeah.
And if that train had those brakes, it wouldn't have been as bad as it was.
Exactly.
And, like you were talking about, they're all bought and paid for, again, our politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And the train companies don't want to have the safe regulations. I mean, when was the last time you saw them repairing railroad tracks? Do you ever see them?
No.
And the trains are all rusty underneath and everything. You got to wonder, what do they do to keep them in tip-top condition, especially when they're hauling gasoline, diesel, and all those chemicals?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's gotten to the point in America where it's all about money and making a profit, not caring for the people who work for you, or, if there is an accident, those that affected in the community. It's all about money. It's sad. We shouldn't be like this. We weren't like this.
I got a question on the arrest of that reporter. I got a question about the arrest on that reporter.
Yep.
Who gave the, what's the word I'm groping for? Who said it was okay for the police officers to arrest that reporter? Where does the blame lie there? Who gave the order? Who gave the orders to arrest that news reporter? Has that been swept under the rug?
I guess whoever was, I'm answering the question. I guess who's in charge of the police that were there? I guess his ego got out of control.
Don't they take their orders from the city administration at a press conference?
Who knows?
Who knows? But this guy looked like a real asshole. This arresting police officer.
This brought me to a point of something that happened today. I got a call from the Police Officers Association, the National Police Officers Association, pleading for money for their legislation. Since when do they push legislation? When did
further
that happen?
Legislation.
Well, that's a scam all the
legislation.
Time. That's a scam, the call that they make.
Well,
that,
no,
that,
you know what?
That
I'm beginning to wonder if it's a scam.
It is. It is.
Oh, well,
and
we need to know about the Proud Boys in the ranks either.
No,
I'm beginning to wonder if it's a scam.
No, it's a scam.
Oh, it probably is a scam.
It was from the Police Officers Association.
Well, that's what they said, but it isn't. It really isn't. I saw it even in a paper that it's bullshit. So don't even bother. Hang up.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother either. I would just hang up.
Well, if it's such a scam, why aren't the police officers doing something about it?
I haven't done it in a while.
I am to the point that I'm getting sick and tired of saying, well, it's a scam, drop it, leave it alone, hang up on them. No, this kind of stuff has got to be addressed. Who is letting them do it?
Well, that's a good question. It could be anybody.
Who is letting them do it? If this is supposed to be a scam, then why aren't the police officers up in arms about it? Evidently, it's not a scam. And this is the way I'm starting to think.
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to know. It is hard to know. You know what the real
because I know if I had a business or I was running a city and somebody told me that a scam was out there, I would be yelling and screaming to stop it.
It's
so
hard to stop them, though.
A scam.
They're so smart. They got scams on Social Security. How many calls did you get from Medicare? Huh?
Oh yeah,
millions
oh, yeah.
of them, and they're all scams. And there's constant stuff like that. And it's the police are work on it, but they come out of the woodwork. I mean, they're just like evil. And people just have to hang up because, you know, look what they put up online. So they do it on the phone. It's everywhere.
Well,
I think the
next time what I'm going to do is play along with them and have them send me the literature.
You tell them to send paperwork. They never do. And the IRS never calls you, but they'll call up and say, hey, you owe the IRS thousands of dollars. If you don't send the money right away, we'll arrest you.
No, we're getting off subject.
Scam.
We're getting off subject. If this is really a scam, then why aren't the Police Officers Association doing something about it?
I'm sure they're trying, but they can't get them.
You know why? They're busy killing black people and everything. But a call coming in from
That's
Virginia.
Right.
Hello,
That's
Khalil
right.
from Virginia. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Nothing much. How
Hello.
You doing?
Hello. Well, under the circumstances, what do you think about this derailment? What's your opinion?
It's bad. It's bad. You know, they need to have some type of construction or some type of rail company helping out and, like, speaking out against this type of stuff. And I found out that, you know, a lot of the people, they had a lot of oil and stuff going under the ground. And a lot of people getting sick.
Oh, yeah. Just the beginning.
And animals dying, you know.
Yep.
The wildlife is perishing. People's personal, you know, pets are dying, left, right, and center. But no, they say, oh, go back. You know, you can go back. You know, drink the water. The air is safe, you know. It's just frustrating, man. It is frustrating as hell. You know, you wouldn't have this thing happening in the white suburbs in uptown America because, you know, the hell that politicians would catch if we were a rich, affluent community compared to, you know, what's happening there in East Palestine, you know, and what's happening, for example, in Flint, Michigan for the past 10 years now. You know, it's just a dereliction of a duty of these train companies and corporations in general where, you know, they don't take responsibility for the actions. The bottom line is making money. And
You're right, David, because during the Flint water crisis, they had found some contaminated water in one of the Bloomfield Hills or one of the upscale neighborhoods. And, boy, they went through that school with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that the kids didn't have bad water. And yet Flint's water is still poisoned.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. After 10 years, a decade.
You know, and not only that, there was ARPA money. I don't know if all of you know. That was the American Rescue Plan. There mm-hmm. was money sent to Flint, Michigan, and the people are having town hall meetings constantly because they have not received a cent of it, not a penny of it.
They gave it to another foundation like they gave other money.
So they're trying to find out. Is that you, Bethany?
Yes.
So they're trying to figure out, you know, where this, you know, how to get their hands on this money, what forms to fill out so they can get mm-hmm. what they need for homes. Am I right, Bethany?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened is, last time Bethany, money came to Flint for emergency money came, people donated money, famous people and stuff to Flint. But it was put in the hands of the Mott Foundation. They used it for their own pet projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people never seen a dime. And then now they put the ARPA money for the Mott Foundation to handle, so I doubt the people will ever see anything.
Mott
are rich and all over the world.
The residents are not getting the ARPA money that they were supposed to get, the relief money.
Saginaw, Michigan, the city handled the ARPA funds. People are already getting mm-hmm. furnaces that need them. Bay City got ARPA funds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not going to do anything for us, you might as well just throw in the towel. How I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. But Bethany, what sense does it make to have a mayor who, you know, his campaign when he ran was to fix the problem of this polluted water? Nothing happened.
The mayor of the town, and there's a lot of dark money used. There's somebody in Michigan, they have a thing where they look up how much people, where the money comes. They wrote two articles, one about Detroit mm-hmm. and Flint, how they used dark money. And they were, like, slamming mm-hmm. the other person, saying, making up stuff, and you know, so there's not much hope here because I think the mods are involved and they get paid off by the mods. You know, mm-hmm. if you're doing the mods vetting and the people are suffering mm-hmm. here.
Right.
What they're doing
right.
is gentrification, big time gentrification here. And for some odd reason, they took a vote and we're paying taxes to what they personally own, which I never heard of in my life of paying taxes on what rich, wealthy people own.
That's crazy.
It pisses me off.
Yeah. We'll have a caller from Chicago, Illinois, calling. Hello, Chicago. What's cooking tonight?
Hi, David. This is Carol.
Carol, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your opinion and thoughts on what's happening?
Well, you know, I walked with Native Village for a long time, and I was up in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a town mm-hmm. where everybody was, like, getting cancer all the time. I mean, it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no industry in that town. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I started looking around, I found out, you know, there was a local factory that had dumped stuff, and there was old mines and stuff, and absolutely no cleanup. What they do is they just ignore it, they cover it up, and they let people die.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I asked so many questions or whatever, people started calling me Erin Brockovich. And if you recall, this issue with corporations violating safety regs and taking liberties with the public's health goes all the way back. I mean, you can talk about Karen Silkwood found a nuclear plant was not doing the right thing, and they murdered her. There was the tobacco industry targeting young people and genetically engineering their plants to be more addicting, and they finally busted that up. But until they, you know, until they did, they were going after the children. They were poisoning people deliberately. You know, you had oil spills. You had Standing Rock protests. And, you know, Standing Rock took it to court. 3 years later, they won. They won a huge settlement because they were right. The oil company was violating the treaties. It was violating our own laws about pollution and, you know, using eminent domain to keep farmers' land and stuff.
Yep.
And paying pennies on the dollar and ruin their farm. People were getting sick from the oil line and fracking up in Canada. And when the physicians tried to speak out, they were silenced and threatened with lawsuits. This
yep.
is a constant thing. It doesn't matter what the big corporation is, whether it's a train company or a mining company. The bottom line is we do need those EPA regulations. We do need those safety regulations because without them, greed takes over. And some of the people leading these corporations are damn psychopaths. They really don't care. If a lot of people get poisoned, as long as they don't get sued over it. Oil companies in Standing Rock, there was a man from Michigan, since you're talking about Michigan, where they had some kind of an oil spill up there. The oil land was recovered. This man went on to make documentary films and interview people because they were dying like flies in Michigan. They were getting miscarriages and lumps and bumps and headaches and all kinds of stuff after this supposed cleanup. And the oil company had millions, and they started giving them death threats. They threatened the victims if you talk about your illnesses from the fracking company, where, you might get, your house might burn down. I mean, these people act like monsters. The only way the public is because the little guy doesn't stand a chance against these giant corporations.
Wait, Carl, for some reason, for some reason you sound muffled, and somebody have the goddamn TV on. Could you mute it, please? Please.
I don't have it.
Okay, go ahead, Carl. Sorry to cut you off like that. Go ahead.
So this issue is really systemic. And I have heard from people working in small businesses that sometimes the regulations, the EPA regulations, were over-regulated, and that's probably true. It's also true that corporate entities were sending men into the EPA to be the head of it. And then they would go ahead and over-regulate small business to make them hate the EPA. This was a plan to destroy the EPA. And they also used various propaganda techniques to turn people against the idea of environmentalism. But when you get right down to the bottom line here on environmentalism, if you don't have protection, there's nothing but chaos and greed takes over. And that means that local restaurant that you trust for your breakfast has the right to poison the hell out of you and not get sued, okay? And the big corporations are going to do it worse. So we do need our EPA to be stronger, and we do need safety regs. And I think there's a place for a healthy balance. What we need is responsible business. And we don't have that. We have like the Wild West when you get into trains and mining and oil and stuff like that. They can do what they want. They can destroy your family farm. They can cheat and screw you every which way but loose, and nothing is done about it.
No.
And I feel sorry for these people because they're going to get lied to. I know that already. They're going to get lied to. They need an Erin Brockovich. That's who they need. And she's still around, by the way.
I have her information. She has, it's the Brockovich Report newsletter. And she was talking about that accident and gave people advice. She is still out there helping consumer advocacy through her newsletter. So maybe we ought to get her involved, including in Flint.
Yeah, you do need that. You do need someone like her that knows the ropes, that's very intelligent, and, fights for the people because they pick people off. If you get sick and stuff, they threaten you, or they make you sign non-disclosures, or all kinds of the ways of pressure local people who are dying off. And a lot of times they do litigation as a technique. They want you to die off. So they're going to take a lawsuit against you and drag it on for years knowing that you're full of cancer and whatever. And it's not going to bother them at all because 90% of the litigants are going to die off. So you need somebody
yes.
who can really deal with these people.
Mm-hmm. News Nation caught up with Erin Brockovich and the spoke to her about a chemical train derailment in Ohio, and this is what Erin Brockovich had to say.
The situation in the train derailment has been going on for over a week. Anytime there's an environmental disaster, the community will come to me. They've already come to me from the scene, and I have just been struggling because from a legal perspective, what is happening out there to even get somebody out there to find out what's going on. And then watching this with a reporter getting arrested. Now I'm really thinking, what the hell's happening out there? I think the most important thing these community members can do, and they're reaching out to me, and they're afraid, and they're worried. They're making the observations of the fish kills. I need them to start protecting themselves. I don't think we're going to get a direct answer right now about the dangers or from the EPA or even the law's going to understand what's happening out there. I need this community to act for themselves. If you feel unsafe, then please get out of harm's way. If you feel unsafe, stay sheltered in place. If you're questioning that it's all clear and you think it isn't, listen to that voice. Document what's happening to your own health. Document or videotape the fish that are dying or as you move about in your community. I think it will be critical. You will have to protect and defend yourself at this moment. Because I don't think all the answers are there. They will be, but they're not. So if we're in the moment, please use your own instincts. Keep yourself safe. Ask questions. If you're uncertain, get to safety. And if you see something, say something and document it.
If you see something, say something and document it. Erin Brockovich said it on News Nation. She was on a program a couple of days ago and everything, and she's taking up the case. And justice will serve because, you know, what are people going through in that community in Ohio is just greediness on the part of corporations. And I wonder what Joe Manchin has to say. He is the chairman of the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. Not a peep from him that I know so far, you know. So
nope.
I mean, that's an important committee in the U.S. Congress, you
know.
There's
more that the average person can do. There's more that the average person can do. When I was in Alaska, and I was wondering why this one small town had extremely high cancer rates. And by the way, you're supposed to report anomalies, birth defects, and cancer rates. Every state is supposed to report them. But in states with high pollution or chemical spills or mining, a lot of times they will not report them. They'll stonewall, and they'll just ignore the federal guidelines. But the point is, you can get around that. You can take a survey, and you can document every symptom you have, and you get your neighbors together, and they keep track of their symptoms, whether they get worse or new, whatever. Now, you don't rely on the local doctor because he might be threatened or pressured to give you a false answer. You send your stuff to an outside lab, you know, and you also consult attorneys that are outside of that area because once something like this happens, they really apply pressure at every level, you know, the police, the judges, everybody gets pressure. Okay, so you want to keep a really close documentation, interview people, menstrual periods, are they disrupted, lungs, you know, because it's inhaled and it needs the soil and water. You want to know lungs, stomach problems, any changes, when it occurred, what it was. You take a medical history, and you can do this as a volunteer, and you can get people to write that stuff down because that's going to be valuable for establishing a cluster, a disease cluster, what the CDC calls a disease cluster. So if you have a disease cluster on your block and the symptoms are similar, and they may not be similar because sometimes it plays out in different ways in different people. But if you have a sudden rash of cancer, for example, in the stomach or in the mouth or something from drinking poisoned water, that's gonna establish a pattern that merits a high level of investigation, and you're more likely to get political action on it. Although, it's still, you know, with Flint, it is an uphill battle.
Yeah, it is. The other thing that comes to mind to me is 9/11. All those firefighters and first responders, you know, that got sick from, you know, rescuing people, and then they had to fight to get the medical care.
Yeah, I thought that was sickening. Because
it's appalling. You know, they had to fight for care. So, and you know, they were doing their job. Really, they didn't. You know, I mean.
Well,
so this is our America. We have to remember that this is our America. America is greed first, people last. Profit first. People last. Corporations are people. People last. You know what I'm trying to say? It's just, you know,
it's a systemic problem. And it's not, it is systemic.
Yeah.
It is absolutely systemic.
On a
political level as well.
Yeah.
We have to regulate them. Corporations are not people.
Yeah. And the other thing is that then you have, you know, people like Rubio, you know, putting their 2 cents in. You know, he's in freaking Florida. What does he care? You know, what does he know about what's going on in Ohio? I mean, honestly and truly, take care of Florida. You know, Florida's got the hurricane problem. Take care of that. It's just appalling because they all are. They see red. It's like when they count on red meat. You know, like Ohio. Oh, that's the next thing. Oh, let's see what they're not doing properly, what we don't think they're doing properly. And let's pounce on them, you know, like red meat. That's exactly what they do.
Oh, yeah, because Rubio is planning to run for president, the Republican nomination for 2024.
He is.
Mike Pompeo, same thing. You know, I just started there last week sometime, that idiot UN ambassador for the U.S., Nikki Haley, she announced, which is a joke, you know, and in a couple of weeks' time, the governor, Ron DeSantis, may announce his candidacy, and of course, Trump is in there, so it's a whole shit show, it's a clown show, these Republicans going into 2024, because when you go through all the names and all potential names, the only one that's viable is Liz Cheney, former congresswoman from Wyoming, at large district. And she is a dying-the-world conservative, not one of the crazy people. Well, a conservative is a conservative, and America's not, you know, too keen on conservatives right now because, you know, due to George Bush administration, it was the start of the gutting of the EPA, you know, where you put somebody in charge who has no history or experience in environmentalism, in you know, things of that nature to deal with the department. You know, so... You know, I mean, Republicans, the only thing they care about is making money. And once their friends make money, they can, you know, put money in their pockets to run for re-election or whatever office that's available. They just care about power. And that's just infuriating, you know?
You know, the other thing, David, is like Ron DeSantis, I won't call him by his correct name. He was in New York. I think it was just today, and he also said that President Biden is neglecting domestic problems by making an international trip this week that included a surprise visit to Kiev to show support for Ukraine in its war with Russia. And he went on to say, we have a lot of problems accumulating here in our own country that he is neglecting. The Satan said in an appearance on Fox News after news of Biden's surprise trip to Ukraine, you know, to meet with President Zelensky. And what business is it of the Satan to criticize what the President of the United States is doing? It's not his job either. And why is he in New York, and why isn't he taking care of Florida with all the wolf problems that he says he has everywhere?
Reason being, he's touring, making a tour in New York and wherever else, California, to like shore up votes, you know, going into the Republican fight to get the 2024 nomination, you know. Mm-hmm. And then speaking of DeSantis, he has a legislation on his belt as the House, the state House and the state Senate is dominated by Republicans, have a majority. And there's a sunshine law that a lot of people don't know about, where, you know, if you're running for one office, you have to demit the office you're currently holding to run for that office. So the speculation is DeSantis is running for the Republican nomination for president. So the regular thing would be to, like, step down as governor and then run as a candidate. But, yep, lo and behold, Ron DeSantis, with the help of his Republican friends in the House and the Senate, in the state legislature, we changed that law now. So DeSantis mm-hmm. can, like, continue running, or it's not official yet, but he's going to run for the Republican nomination and stay mm-hmm. as governor. You know, so yeah, imagine if a Democrat tried that shit. They're up in arms and making us think about it. But no, DeSantis is special. No, he's special.
The
special
mayor
meme,
of New York answered mm-hmm. DeSantis. It was really cute. And to paraphrase, he had told DeSantis, when you make your trip to New York, I hope we teach you something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
And that was in an email. I don't have the quote in front of me, but like I said, to paraphrase. And what it boiled down mm-hmm. to is, you know, when you come to New York, I hope we teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really comical. We are talking back. I think the progressives and people that care, we are talking back now. We aren't letting it go
mm-hmm.
anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are.
I wanted to mention.
You know, you knock us down to the ground, we're going to get back up, and as we get back up, we're going to let you know how we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another one is Matt Gaetz. He says, when our border is in crisis, Joe Biden goes home to nap in Delaware. He said on Twitter. So on President's Day, I'm not surprised that Biden is ditching America for Ukraine. You know,
well,
and then
Matt
we
Gaetz
have
is so worried about it. Why doesn't he go to the border?
Exactly. And what about Marjorie Taylor Greene? She's of course, you know, the freaking pain in the ass. I'm sorry, in
mm-hmm.
the what, you know, and she blasted Biden for not visiting Ohio, where a train derailment earlier this month has caused an environmental disaster. She went on to say, Biden didn't go to East Palestine, Ohio on President's Day, Green said on Twitter. He went to Ukraine, a non-NATO nation whose leader is an actor and apparently now commanding our United States military to world war. We must impeach this America last fool before it's too late.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the same one who said that, you know, America has to be divided, where the blue states stay on one side and the red states stay on one side. And we fought the Civil War over that very same issue. So, you know, she is both crazy and ridiculous and stupid, you know, and she has more authority in, you know, criticizing the president when she makes jokes. Poor tasteless jokes about the insurrection. If she was in charge of the insurrection, there would be guns. I mean, you know, she has no right to criticize anybody.
No.
And Raven McForehead from Florida, Matt Gaetz, he needs to be in prison already. You know, with a Republican majority in the House, there's no investigation into what he did, even though receipts are there that he slept with underage girls, little girls. You know, so he's a child mm-hmm. rapist, basically. And these Republicans, all of them run on family values. Like, oh, yes, the family should be strong, a mother and father. But yet still, mm-hmm. most of these Republicans behind closed doors, either tapping mm-hmm. the toe on the public restrooms or having sex with the interns or trying to have sex with the interns, you know,
mm-hmm.
of the same gender. I mean, hey, to each his and her own. But, you know, when you run on something and champion the cause of, like, you know, the nuclear family and family values, but behind closed doors you're having, you know, sex with another man or another woman
mm-hmm.
or keeping a spouse who's sick. You know, things like that. It's typical Republican behavior. The hypocrisy is astounding. You know?
It's
ridiculous.
And, you know,
these Republicans are ridiculous.
And going back to Marjorie Taylor Greene for a minute, and this was her tweet for today. We need a national divorce. We need to separate by red states and blue states and shrink the federal government, she said in a tweet. Everyone I talked to says from the sick and disgusting woke culture issues shoved down our throats to the Democrats' traitorous America last policies. We are done. The U.S. fought a civil war in the 1860s, and after a group of southern states tried to succeed to preserve the legal enslavement of black people. Green? I mean, what planet does this woman live on?
I've been criticizing the MAGA cult and the online pastors that are calling themselves prophets. A lot of them are associated with a new apostolic reform and other subgroups. And they openly state now, I've been saying this for a while, no one believes me, no one listens. Now they trip themselves up. They're openly stating that they want a new world order, that they plan to take over America and then take over the world, which, you know, nobody in the world is going to submit to forced Christianity without a fight. So you're talking endless war and endless taxation, number one. Number two, they also basically declared war on the other churches, the other Christian churches, whom they regard as inferior. And basically it's all prosperity gospel. And it's okay to fake speaking in tongues and other spiritual gifts. These are red but con men, okay? These con men wanted their cult declared the national standard for Christianity. They wanted to be the official religion. And they used Christians' dislike of homosexuality and the abortion issue to rally Christians around those two issues. But when you look at the belief, it's all about them. You don't need the Bible anymore. They'll tell you what to believe. It's their dreams. It's their prophecies, many of which are not consistent with the Bible. They're the opposite of what Jesus taught. And now they're saying, one of them said boldly that, you know, speaking in tongues, they believe in forcing it. Okay, forcing speaking in tongues, speaking it. That's going to come to every church. In other words, they're going to come into your church, infiltrate, and if they have the power, harass churches that won't believe as they believe. This is all led by a handful of right-wing extremist people. They're not really religious. It's really about money and power and greed. Because if you look at their online content, and 90% of it is political. It is, it is all anti-Joe Biden, anti-Democrats. Democrats are demons, Egyptians. Whatever, okay, but it's none of it's about the Bible. None of it's actually consistent with Christian teachings. And in fact, you know, Jesus talked about turning the other cheek. It's easier for a rich man. It's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Very, very anti-materialistic teachings, right? You never hear that. They never teach that. They never teach forgiveness of your enemies, which Christ taught in the Lord's Prayer. And he taught it many other ways. They never teach that either. They teach chasing the buck and giving money to multi-rich millionaire preachers, and they intend to force all the others, the Methodists, the Lutherans, everybody else, into their group. And now that they've done that, they're falling apart at the seams. Christians are rising up. I was one of the only voices speaking against them. Now I'm amazed how many people are doing videos who are getting on their page and rebuffing this and, you know, really, really laying down the law to them. You don't fake an experience, a mystical experience with God. You don't speak in tongues. I've been speaking in tongues. It can happen. It's a real miracle when it does. But you don't fake it. It's like faking sex. It's kind of said it's true. So these people have now revealed themselves as agents of destruction in the New World Order, and that they want to force all the other denominations, Christian denominations, to do some of the nutty stuff they do, and to listen only to these prophets who will have basically life or death power, because they can declare you ungodly and have you arrested or harassed or even put to death. That's what they want. That's what they're going for. And they partnered with huge corporations. And they tried to hide the concentration camp part of it, which is part of it, by rewriting a Rush Dooney series on a utopian society. Rush Dooney loved the Nazis, by the way. They rewrote it at Seven Mountains Mandate. But if you read closely, you know, they're talking about transferring wealth from the ungodly to the godly. Well, who's the ungodly? Anybody they don't like. Any other Christian group, certainly all the non-Christian groups, any race that they consider inferior, can be declared ungodly. So you're really talking a hell on earth, number one. Those kind of purges would never end. Number two, there's no guarantee in that theory, and it is a theory, that the big corporations, once they've gained power and ascendancy in the fascist government, won't simply do away with the church altogether. Because then you're back to feudal, you know, kingdoms, basically. If you work for Exxon, Exxon owns you from cradle to grave. And that's where they're headed. And people are starting to wake up and say, this is not about Christ. This is not consistent with the Bible. We don't need these self-declared prophets dictating every aspect of our life and rewriting the Bible, which essentially they are doing. Okay, and I'm seeing a real backlash now. These Christians are taking back Christianity from these bizarre, mega cult people. And I'm grateful for it. I believe God will turn this around.
Well, the thing is, since you brought up the, you know, Christians, I'm just going to talk a little bit about something that I experienced. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with a very old friend who I love dearly. She's always been of Christian faith, and I've known her since I was in middle school, so we go back a long way. And we were just talking about, you know, Ohio and what happened there and this and that. Then all of a sudden she said to me, did you hear about the, now this high school, Chippewa Valley High School is a high school that is close to where I live. It's in our community. And she said, did you hear about the pornography that was found in the library at Chippewa Valley High School? I'm like, no, I haven't heard anything about that. And she said, oh, yes. She goes, we were at our Bible study last Monday, and one of the women there said that there's pornography in the library, and now they're going to have a meeting on Wednesday, and they're going to raise hell. And I said to her, I said, well, what book was it? And she said, my girlfriend said, I don't know. And I said, well, I'll be honest. I'd have to see the book and, you know, look at it before I decide, you know, if it's pornography or not. And I said to her, I said, people do things for different reasons. And she goes, well, this woman that brought it up, she goes, she's a Christian lady, and we prayed about it. And I said, okay, so she's a Christian lady. You can be a Catholic lady. You can be a Baptist lady. But that doesn't mean that you're right about everything that is true. I said, sometimes there's rumors that go, that, you know, come into play for different reasons. And they're trying to ban books now is what they're trying to do. So
yes,
then she said to me, well, you have a point. She said, maybe I'll bring that up, you know, at our Bible study tomorrow night, which is tonight. and we'll pray on it. I said, please do, and let me know what happens. See, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
This is what's happening. So now this group of people are going to go to the Board of Education or wherever, and I would love to see this book. And I'm not going to give this up because I want to see this book. And I would love to see what they consider to be pornography in a school library. I really would.
Well, they're also starting to do this in a public library for adults. They want to regulate what you and I can read. But
yeah.
I'll be damned if they can tell me what to read.
Now,
I do believe Christ taught a lot of good things, but I'm going to say it very bluntly. If you're teaching the Bible and calling yourself a Christian, then you need to follow Christ. Then you need to follow the Bible. Don't sit up there and tell us about your dreams and your political ambitions and tell us that that now is the new Bible. And that is what they're doing. And it's a cult mentality. It is so ridiculous. These people are so gullible. They put out things like on the 700 Club, which is part of it. The 700 Club is disgusting. I mean, they put out a rumor that teachers were coming to school dressed in furry outfits and relieving themselves with a kitty litter in front of the children. Now, you know that never happened in any school. In any school. And they happened in my state. And I can tell you it didn't happen in my state. It didn't happen in any state.
No.
Because public lewdness is public lewdness. It wouldn't matter if you were a costume or not. There would never be a time when they would allow a teacher to do that. But that's what they use. They use fear, irrational fear, and bold-faced lies. Then they have the fake miracles guy. Lots of fake miracles. One guy got up there on 700 Club, and he's the one with the kitty litter story. He's the same guy that's on YouTube that miraculously grew somebody's leg, okay? And he prayed over it, and he flexed it a little bit, and, oh, look at here, the leg is an inch longer. Praise God. Well, let me tell you something. It didn't miraculously grow in a minute's time, okay? It grew. It didn't grow at all. If your muscles are in spasm and you stretch the right way, there's advanced training in massage therapy and physical therapy and chiropractic. It will do the same thing. You stretch a certain way and your body will literally relax and your legs will lengthen. And when you stand up one leg, it'll be shorter than the other. And it's because you release the muscle. It isn't because it grew in 10 seconds, okay? So this guy is a bona fide faker, and he's one of them. And they fake speaking in tongues. And again, I'm not going to attack speaking in tongues. I personally used to make fun of it until I experienced someone delivering a message in a language they didn't know, which turned out to be a tribal language. It was very specific for me. No one in this room knew what it meant but me. And so I had to acknowledge speaking in tongues is a possibility. It is rare. It's just like you don't fake a miracle healing, you don't fake speaking in tongues. You don't fake religious experiences. And if you do fake it, it's a sign of lack of faith. Those of us that have seen miraculous healings, and by the way, I have. Those of us that have seen it know that you can't make God miraculously heal. You can plead, you can pray, and you can ask God, but you can't make it happen. And when somebody's making it happen week after week, always on TV and in front of the cameras, you can be damn sure that person's a fake. And these are the very people who want to take over in the name of Christianity, but their bizarre beliefs are not coming from the Bible. It's coming from their own dreams, their own theories, and it's written plots of the United States. And a lot of it's coming from the South. It's intermingled with the South all right again, and that's why you hear her talking about the Confederacy of the States, which, by the way, the Republicans have done with the Tea Party for several years, actively discussing withdrawing from the Union, and that's nothing more than neo-Confederacy. And it's ridiculous. It's actually ludicrous. Because the first thing that would happen if that were to happen is Russia and China would then pit the southern states against the north, and they wouldn't have to invade us. They would simply arm people in our own country, you know, with lots of money and lots of help, and they would try to destroy us from within. And Russia has been promising that for, oh, God, back in the 1950s. They said we're going to be...
Yeah, 1952 when Admiral Stephen... Yeah, when Admiral Stevenson ran for president of the United States, and he came to Eisenhower saying that, hey, the KGB approach was saying this and that, you know. Well, anyway, Carol, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm going to let you go, but I want people to know that the Republicans are not only in bed with the corporations, so are the cult churches, not the regular churches, but the cult churches. And
we know, absolutely.
Destroying the other churches in the United States. And I think people are waking up. They don't want this crap in their church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can read the Bible for themselves. They don't need somebody to rewrite the Bible and tell them and only listen to a prophet. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. You know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they are traditional.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Thank you for calling. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. That was Carol from Illinois, and we're going to go on to the Biden visiting Kiev. We'll have a caller been waiting. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, caller from Georgia. What's cooking tonight?
Not much, man. How y'all doing?
Good.
Oh,
how are
good.
You?
Can I complain?
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing well, man.
What's that?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. No, it was interesting to see him over there in Kiev, but at the same time, when you got a natural, well, not a natural, man-made disaster in the state of Ohio going on at the same time, that seems like that would be a more important visit to make and to actually push back against some of these corporate forces as opposed to always conceding to them and making deals with them. So I thought that was in bad taste. The thing that's sticking out to me lately, and I said this to a friend on another show a couple of days ago, we're in a period of basically it's like Pavlov's dog. They understand, and by they, I mean the GOP, they understand they have a huge swath of their parties who only responds when the bell is rung. So they ring the bell, CRT, Marxism, woke, and they just do that for any topic, any discussion, and it rallies their base so that way they don't have to legislate, they don't have to come up with policy. They can just simply ring that bell, and they start to salivate, and they get away with it. And it's sad to see as far as, you know, just the politicians doing it, but a worse point is the fact that this is enough for some people. Like that hatred is so deep-seated in them. The idea of otherizing other people is so deep-seated in them that they're vulnerable to this stuff. So that's the thing that's sticking out to me. We've got someone who was elected again for some strange reason, MGT, who's openly talking about secession and talking about two Americas, a red and a blue America. Like we have this person saying that, and it's not even controversial. They lose no political capital for it. They don't lose any actual capital for it. There's no damage to reputation. It's just rolled out like it's another Tuesday. So,
well, you know,
we're in a very weird place.
Yeah, and, like when Marjorie Taylor Greene did talk about the red and the blue states, you know, well, let them, you know, have their red states. And then when they have a disaster like in Ohio or in Flint, Michigan, then they don't get any federal disaster. They don't get any money from the federal government. So, you know, let them do what they want.
Right, because that's just so
ridiculous.
Most of these states are dependent on federal government money in order for them to be solvent, like we all know that. But the tough part is we got to remember these states also have a huge minority population of mostly blacks and Latinos, which they gerrymander out of political power to where they can just kind of shift them into one area, and then they can continue to win elections and do the things they're doing. So, you know, we can't really even turn our back there because we're talking about a lot of rural good folks who've been fighting a good fight for decades But it's just insurmountable when the game is rigged. It's like playing Monopoly against somebody, and your plan is to keep rolling doubles. It's like, yeah, sounds good, but it's not likely to happen. So that's the difficulty with some of these red states. Like, we can't forget that. These people have been voting Dem for a long time, and they're punished for it, as we see in Jackson, where they're trying to come up with a basically a non-governmental entity to come in and govern and have full sway over Jackson, despite having a mayor and everything else that you're supposed to have in the city.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave. Hi, Lori. Is it Jackson or – hi, this is Madeline, by the way. Hello, everyone. I'm Maddie. Is it Jackson or is it Memphis that tried to do that?
No, it's Jackson.
Look,
they're going after Lumumba.
Yeah, an old –
they're trying to create their
own –
right, they're trying to create their own entity and to get direct control over those federal funds that are supposed to pour in to fix the water system.
So,
just
like how do we fix that?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
How do we fix that?
I know what you're saying.
The same way, the same way we fought everything else, organizing, letting people understand it, getting boots on the ground. Think about some of these campaigns we've seen over the past few years. Even some of the people who are probably more liberal than progressive, who I really wouldn't support, but they were a much better option than the Republican opponent, so I had to kind of, you know, roll with it. We've seen some organizing on a level that we haven't seen in a long time. Hell, the fact that Georgia's purple, like, come on, man. That's not something I thought I'd see in my lifetime.
That's
so
confusing.
Yeah.
Right there, y'all. Does that make you happy that Georgia's purple?
That's a step in the right direction. Just got to keep pushing.
Good.
But, you know, think about Georgia was just 10 years ago as far as reputation, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Hell, Texas now. When you get into Austin and some of those other areas of Texas, guess what? It is not whatever stereotype you have of a Texan. It is
it's not.
Cosmopolitan,
challenge.
No,
it's not. You're right. You are right. Absolutely. Mr. Governor Abbott bought and paid for.
So call in Georgia. Tina, what's your first name, by the way? I slipped.
Oh, this is Nas, man. We've talked.
Nas. Okay, so Nas, do you think in our lifetime that Texas and Georgia will ever turn blue, I mean fully blue?
Fully blue is tough. I would say purple is more likely because you got to remember, when you get out to certain areas of Georgia, man, look, certain areas of South Georgia, you might as well be talking about a Confederacy in some of these areas. And the sad thing is, and again, I'm going to say this and get out your way because I know I'm long-winded, but I'll just say this and get out the way.
No, so, you're making good points.
These states who didn't take the Medicaid expansion or the Medicare expansion and created this scenario to where rural hospitals won't be able to survive and they're closing, these are the really red voting areas who will not have access to health care because they're going to have to drive to the major city in order to seek care. And as all you know, if, when you're talking about emergency situations, which is the majority of the time when people want to go in, that's not going to be very effective. So people are going to die under the guise of they owned the libs and showed them that they didn't want socialized Medicare or whatever else. So, you know,
now, keep in mind one thing. Remember, Stacey Abrams called them out. There's plenty of money in Georgia to take care of some of this. He's not releasing it. Remember that.
There's your problem. Same thing in Texas, same thing in Alabama.
Exactly.
But amongst all the arguing, though, these hospitals are going to close, and these people in these rural areas will not have another option.
Well,
yeah.
And
so,
why
can't it's really dark.
Make his people happy?
How about Jimmy Carter?
It's funny. You're right. It is. Why can't Kemp care as much as Stacey Abrams?
Well, you look at his background. Who is actual lineage comes down from, and the whole formation of Georgia, you get an idea about Kemp. And as far as like what the brother was saying, as far as Jimmy Carter, sad to see You hate to see somebody go out like this. Look, I wouldn't call him progressive. I would say he probably did the most, though, to limit America's imperial vices. He did
yes.
as much as he could, and they ran mm-hmm. him out of there in disgrace as fast
they
as they could, and it looks like he was
they
right
did.
About a lot.
He is
when
a
it comes to climate change, getting off of
yep.
oil, like he had a lot of points that would hold up today, even though
yep.
he was
exactly.
Before.
Because back
yep.
back there in the 70s and late 70s, early 80s, Republicans laughed at him when he put the solar panel on the White House.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a man before his time, and he was
yes,
ridiculed
he was.
By the public, you know. And
oh,
what a
wow.
thing, if you picture this, where Jimmy Carter was president, and if we had someone like Mikhail Gorbachev as president of the Soviet Union, imagine what progress the world would have made. You know?
None.
So Jimmy Carter did well as president of the United States, and he has nothing
yes.
to be ashamed of. And
no.
when he goes, you know, to heaven or wherever, whatever you believe
yep.
in, you know,
to
may his soul rest
land.
In peace, because he is one of the presidents who I met in person in Jamaica back in 1989 when his observer team came to,
mm-hmm.
you know, monitor that election.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a nice man. He was so humble and just reserved and not flighty and, you know, like, oh, I'm the
mm-hmm.
president, you know, who are you to
it,
talk to me? You know, so
he was throwing paper towels.
Yeah, he wasn't drinking. Yeah, but yeah, Jimmy Carter was like
towel.
A cool
hold
dude.
Okay.
There's another link there.
So oh,
we
my
go back
God,
to,
another shooting in Grosse Pointe, Michigan.
Really
gunman.
Terrible.
Yes,
that's
it's alert on the Channel 4.
No
wow.
way.
Another shooting.
Oh, well, he said, tell me that. Get out. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
That is insane.
No,
it's
no,
like
no. Grosse Pointe, what was it?
Weeks.
It's a barricaded gunman situation in Grosse Pointe Shores.
Great.
Oh, so this is
mm-hmm.
in a home. This is in a home,
right.
not a...
Huh.
I'm
this
sorry
a,
to break
yeah.
in, but I thought you folks would like
no,
to know.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know.
So
yeah.
this was in a home,
yeah,
though? This wasn't like the Michigan State situation where they're in a public
no,
place?
No, that...
Oh, my
and
God.
And by the way, the five students are still fighting for their lives. The
mm-hmm.
one... one of them has a severed spine, will never walk again.
Oh, God.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Pray for him.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, it's so senseless.
God forgive me, but this man did not have to do this. He was better off saying goodbye and taking and God again, forgive me for saying so, but he was better off offing himself.
Yep.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But okay,
it's
okay.
not a.
Sure,
I'm
so.
Not. I don't think like that.
Right,
it breaks my heart to think like that.
No. That's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a natural logic. That's a natural.
Well, it is a natural, but
take.
It's nothing. Even
but,
natural
but the,
expression can be barricade gunman situation and growth.
Right,
home.
Right. But the question becomes
yeah.
at a certain point. Okay, how is one society, and I mean one society, because it doesn't happen everywhere else as often. How is one society producing so many people who are so in dire need of some type of intervention that they're not only taking themselves out is not enough. They want to inflict some pain beforehand. So
yeah.
what is that
mm-hmm.
plan?
You
how
know,
producing
that
many
you know
I think, Nas, I think it's mental illness, you know, because
it
when
is.
Reagan came in 1981 as president,
yep.
first
so
thing he did was close all those mental hospitals and institutions to help people who have problems with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
he did
correct.
Nothing for housing. You know, and
yeah.
nothing
correct.
Changed since then, you know.
Yeah.
And again, Republicans, where the compassion? They're talking about being compassionate conservatives and Christians, but this is not Christian.
Oh,
Jesus wouldn't do this.
Oh, they're evangelical, David.
Mm.
They're evangelical.
You know, the
whatever that means in practice as opposed
yeah.
to
I,
trying to
I hope
it.
You can hear the sarcasm.
Oh, indeed. Yeah,
yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Last week, you know, we had a conversation last week about the mental illness. Remember,
yeah.
we talked about mental health
mm-hmm.
last week. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and how I think that a lot of people, a lot of the shootings that happen, these people have some sort of mental problem, some sort of mental illness. And one of my solutions that I was thinking out of the, just trying to, out of the box, you know, like we have urgent cares in our country, you know, why can't we have like walk-in clinics for these people that feel, you know, sorrow or anger or bitterness or whatever it is that they've got going on in their mind. They have bipolar, they have depression, they have anxiety, and a lot of them do not get the proper medical care because we really don't have a good system for it in our country, you know, right, to be honest. And what would be wrong with something like that? You know,
nothing at all. If you had a health system that would do it.
That was a part of the defund conversation, the defund the police conversation, because the people wanted a mental health aspect to care that was not provided by the police. And then to your point, Medicare for all or so-called universal health care, that would address it, because then you'd have a function for it and it wouldn't be a problem. But again, we're still running into the same problem of we've become an individualized nation that doesn't see other people as citizens or people who are in need. So that part just won't roll.
And the thing is, it would be good for our whole society. You know, it really would.
Well, when you have facilities like that, you need to be careful as well. If they're that off balance, they could come in with, you'd have to have precautions and security. I would agree.
But that can be planned for.
It's a great idea. We have nothing now.
Right, that can be planned for. But when people are just out and you don't know where they are and what they could possibly do and nobody's checked on them, then that's where you have a surprise factor. And look, I got to go, so I'll just end on this with the Jimmy Carter point you made, and I know this is taking it back, but just go back and remember to make this transition, Jimmy Carter to Trump. Jimmy Carter is elected. Before he is ever able to be sworn in as president, he had to what? Sell his peanut farm.
He should have no business cards and show his taxes.
So here
and
we
what's
are,
that other piece of shit
30
do?
Years later, emoluments clause violated. No taxes shown, and he's still running. That's
the 30 years later, we got Citizens United.
Okay. Nice. Thank you so much for calling in, brother.
Good to talk to you, sir. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, man. That was Nance from the great state of Georgia and Atlanta, speaking about Jimmy Carter. What a great man he is. Listen, about that joke, Nimarata Ranhawa, that's her name, her birth name, a.k.a. Nikki Haley. She announced recently that she's running for president on the Republican nomination. I'm going to play a clip, but I won't do it, you know, because I'd rather hear a chalkboard screeching, nails on chalkboard screeching than hearing her voice, you know.
I'm watching MSU students are returning to class.
Nikki Haley, according to Fox News, she's a trailblazer challenging Donald Trump in 2024. Yeah, she's no
trailblazer,
please.
What trailblazer?
I don't know. Well, it's Fox News. You know, it's Fox News.
That was my point,
ridiculous.
David. It is.
Fox News is ridiculous. Fox Entertainment is what they should be called.
Yeah.
You know?
Girls. Yeah.
So let's not waste any time on Nikki Haley. She's a joke. She won't go anywhere. How about McCarthy giving Tucker Carlson access to the trolls of the January 6th riot tape? That's our next topic.
Yes, that is a story right there.
What did he do?
Now, listen to this.
Okay.
So McCarthy gave all the tapes from January the 6th to Tucker Carlson.
Oh, fucking
Tucker Carlson of Fox News. He did not give them to MSNBC. He did not give them to CNN. He didn't give them to any other news outlet.
And those were on the orders of Donald Trump.
Only to Fox News.
I know. Mm-hmm. I think it was on the orders of the MAGAs that are in there right now that he bribed to get their vote so he could be speaker. So now this is going to cause a lot of problems.
Now he's got to pay up.
He is paying up. Yes. So, David, do you have the article there, David?
Oh, yes. The host speaker, Kevin McCarthy, has given Fox News Tucker Carlson exclusive access to 41,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage from January 6th riots, McCarthy sources tell the media. So Carlson TV producers were on Capitol Hill last week to begin digging through the trove, which included multiple camera angles from all Capitol grounds, excerpts will begin airing in the coming weeks on Fox News. And this is why it matters, because Carlson has repeatedly questioned official account of January 6th, downplaying the insurrection as vandalism. Now his show, the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show on Fox News, and Tucker Carlson Today and Tucker Carlson Originals, all on streaming services on Fox Nation, have a massive trove of raw material that I can, like, cherry pick and everything. And then Tucker Carlson said, and I quote, "There was never any legitimate reason for this footage to remain secret," end quote. And, you know, so he's going to try to pretty it up to make Republicans and their supporters look good. If there was any question that the public interest to know, it's what actually happened on January 6th. But by definition, this video will reveal it in its entirety. It's possible for Tucker Carlson to understand why any honest person would be bothered by that. You know, so there's a reality check coming where the January 6th committee played numerous excerpts of the footage of last year's captivating hearings. And the process with Carlson started in early February this year is between McCarthy and himself. And, you know, he and his staff going through, you know, all that information and everything. So, I mean, you know, shame on our lying eyes for what we saw live. You know, Tucker Carlson and the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, trying to, like, sugarcoat it and pretty it up to make their supporters not look bad and everything. I see for myself where the tore down the glass windows, went in there, stormed in there, shit on the walls, pissed in the corridors. Mm-hmm. You know, what? That's not an insurrection. What the hell is it?
Well, the other thing, David, that we have to think about is all that footage also showed the offices of, you know, like Pelosi, and also showed a lot of the different places that they can go and hide the, you know, the secret things that are in there. It's all on tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on tape. It's actually a security thing as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's also a security problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's go ahead.
No.
Interject.
McCarthy has the audacity to give the tapes to Tucker Carlson and not the other side. And yet, McCarthy insisted that the President Biden reveal everything about those four stupid things in the space that they shot down. They wanted the report to the intelligence judicial committee.
Yep.
They want the people. They insisted that Biden do a press conference for the people, and then that jackass gives the tape just to Tucker Carlson. It's not a two-way street, and if somebody doesn't call him out, that's where the problem is. Democrats have no balls anymore. I'm sorry.
I don't know how this is going
to
work.
It shouldn't have been released to anybody.
No, they should not.
Well, grant you, that's exactly. But since they were, they should have been done to both sides.
Yeah,
and
not
that's
the only
was,
Fox got
them.
But Fox is going to alter them.
Yes, they are.
You think?
That's exactly
of
the point
they are.
They are going to be altered.
Pretty much.
And
they're
going to
take it out of context like they do any statement that anybody makes.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question. isn't Fox News under indictment in regards to the voting machines?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No, there's a lawsuit. Dominion is suing Fox News.
That's right, honey. So how can Tucker Carlson add to the fire?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Because the judge, you know, the judge is a $1.6 billion defamation case against Fox News. And the fate
That's
of
right.
$1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News. The judge is unflinching. And the Delaware Superior Court judge, his name is Eric Davis. He's a 12-year veteran of the state's bench and former corporate attorney. He has often sought to temper emotions in the contentious proceedings between the broadcasting giant and the Dominion voting system, a voting technology company, and each side repeatedly has accused the other of acting in bad faith. Quote, if he were to be given a name in culture, it would be Cool Hand Luke, said Joseph Hurley, who's a criminal defense attorney based in Wilmington, who has argued before Davis but has no involvement with the case. In court, he's never shown any emotion, and I mean that in a good way, end quote. So Dominion is suing Fox News or Fox Entertainment. Let's call them Fox Entertainment. They're not news.
Yeah,
for airing false claims.
And he's going
airing
false individuals.
Yeah,
as
yeah. Well. Airing false claims that has helped cheat then-President Donald Trump of a win in the 2020 elections. Both sides just filed motions asking Davis to grant them victory ahead of the jury trial schedule to start in April this year. So the motions are on a seal, meaning that they have not been made public. Judge Davis is also overseeing a separate defamation case filed by another voting tech company, Smart-O-Matic, against Fox's smaller rival Newsmax over similar claims. Davis recently filed ruling in that case may offer clues to how he'll treat Dominion's case against Fox News. So the skeptical of Newsmax argument for airing false claims on election fraud like Dominion, SmartTech, was a subject of a false claim that its software had switched Trump votes to Joe Biden votes. Those claims were broadcast on Newsmax, Fox Entertainment, and elsewhere. Davis earlier this month denied Newsmax request to toss out SmartTech's defamation claim, or Smart-O-Matic's defamation claim. Davis ruled that the facts pleaded by Smart-O-Matic lead to the reasonable infer that Newsmax airing up stolen election claims were reckless enough to meet the high legal bar required for defamation. Quote, Newsmax Knox even knew this, its statements regarding Smart-O-Matic's role in the election fraud narrative was false, or at least it had a high degree of awareness that they were probably false, the judge stated. So finally, Judge Davis ruled that Smart-O-Matic could reasonably allege that Newsmax defamed the company, even in statements that did not name it. He said Newsmax, quote, seemingly wants the court to make a hyper-literal reading of every statement, which would be ridiculous. It would take forever, reading such statements and everything. So the judge aimed for clarity and to avoid snark and high-stakes battle. Davis ruling in the Newsmax case hinted at the choppy waters ahead for Fox News. Well, Coulhane, an authority on defamation law, cautions against drawing too strong a conclusion for the Newsmax ruling. He says Davis is, quote, very clear, and he's very step-by-step when it comes to the law. So there's no excuse or escaping Fox News and its $1.6 billion defamation case.
Nope.
They're going
to
lose, and hopefully they'll be shut down because of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully each one of those people also gets sued. Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
What's her face? Yeah. Ingram.
Tucker Carlson. Laura Ingram.
What's her name?
Uh-huh. Yes, Judge Pirro.
That's it.
Yeah, Judge Pirro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a drug head, or she drink a lot. So according to Whoopi Goldberg, she's a drunk. But anyway, let's hope that Fox News. This is the demise of Fox News. Hopefully, it's the start of the demise of Fox News.
Yes, that would be the frosting on the cake. if we could get rid of Fox News. It's not Fox News. It's Fox News.
Keep your fingers crossed. Dominion takes care of it. And the other one. Keep your fingers crossed, too, because from what I understand, from what I heard today, a couple of these YouTube people, Midas Touch and attorneys, Pence is going for that he cannot question. And he's picking this one line, and he's using it as his reason for not testifying. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. It's not going to work.
Yeah, because, who's Mike Pence to think that he's bigger than the justice system?
Not even
because
that.
Back in the day, when Spiro Agnew had to testify, he was a sitting vice president. Pence is like a private citizen, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, nobody's bigger than the law. If Trump has to testify, Mike Pence has to testify.
Well, Mike Pence knows things that he does not want to reveal. Let's face it. Even though Trump wanted to kill him, Pence will not cross him.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Well, we'll see.
But
he
doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, the reason is that he's running for president as well. He's going to run for the nomination.
Exactly.
And because the bottom of the barrel voters, are Trump supporters. They're all fighting for, the scarce benefits and spoils, So look on the case in Georgia, for example, where Trump asked that for those 11,000 plus votes.
Oh, my God.
Giuliani perjured himself. What's his face? From South Carolina. Lindsey Graham perjured himself.
Lindsey.
A couple other people perjured themselves. It's going to come out eventually, sooner or later. Hopefully sooner than later. That, these people who testified in that trial are going to come up on perjury charges, So, I mean, Jesus, I wish it was tomorrow, but it's taking so long. They're dragging this thing out for some reason. They're scared to drop indictments and perjury charges.
Well, I truly do believe we are really eager to get them all convicted. But as we know, the legal system, no matter what the topic and who they are, you know how the legal system, it does take a long time. And Merrick Garland is not going to skip a beat. That's why he put Jack Smith there. With that being said, let's be patient till we can get Jack Smith has got in his mind. He subpoenaed left and right when he came back to the U.S., Just let them testify. Let these grand juries get in there. Let Mark Meadows have to testify. Let let McCarthy testify. Then we'll grab for hope. Because they cannot, a criminal grand jury, you don't play. You do not play there.
Mm-hmm.
One lie puts you in jail, and I don't care who you are.
Yeah, nobody's above the law. Exactly.
Let's hope.
I'm holding on to it. Pence, I don't think, has a leg to stand on.
I hope.
No, they claim that.
We're running out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No.
He did say he was going to take it up to the Supreme Court if he had to.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Well.
Oh,
that'll be a joke. That'll be funny.
He's not going
to
get anywhere.
Well, if he had to.
Right, anyway.
Because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
He hitched his wagon to a loser. He gets what he deserves.
Yeah,
to
pretty
be
much.
Pretty much.
They all deserve to go to jail, a prison. They're a prison bitch for Bubba.
I don't care if it's
anyway,
house arrest.
Ladies.
Yes.
Everybody, thank you so much for calling. Khalil in West Virginia. Carolyn in Illinois, Madeline in Michigan, Naz in Atlanta, Georgia. Who else am I? Susie from Michigan as well. Who else am I forgetting? Bethany from Flint, Michigan for calling in tonight. We'll have one more call. Let me get this call. We'll have like 5 minutes. One last call. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hey, it's Eric Brantley here.
Hi,
Eric. How are you doing, man? What's 5 minutes?
Good, good. Yeah, I can make it quick. Like I said, I didn't forget about it. I just got off work, actually. So yeah, like I said, it's a bit busy.
Well,
but
join us, sir.
I wanted to make sure I got a word in.
So what's
the gist of what we've been talking about tonight? I know this was kind of an
open mic. Basically, we've been talking about Norfolk Railway that spent $14 billion on lobbying on Capitol Hill for preferential treatment. I know this thing happened where, you know, they polluted the air and the water. What's your, you know, take on it? What, 4 minutes?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I've been hearing some talk about that, but you know what? I've been tied up with so much stuff. That one was actually one I fell short of. I really follow up with that one too much. There's been some other big stuff going on that I know that's been kind of discussion. I mean, we've had to kind of digress a bit here. I mean, I know we've had more shootings going on, and that's unfortunate. I just hear, like, hey, you know, people, just remember, it's the guns and it's the people as well.
We
need to advocate more gun laws. We need to reinstall the ban on assault rifles that President Clinton had put in. I think that was in, what, 1993, 94 that he established that?
1994.
It expired under the Bush administration, and nobody brought it back. And we need to push this administration and the Democrats to bring that type of stuff back. Let's the usual stuff. You know, we need to advocate the lower cost for health care, more Medicare for people. Better education, possibly another stimulus check, higher wages, and
that's
more.
Young man, that's only going to come if they tax the Republican rich people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to pay for it.
And you know what? In
the
way
that's
that we're going to do that, we got to continue to push more and more blue people that are in the government. We need to gain more seats in our Congress. We need to have a supermajority in the Senate and the House. And keep
the
Democrats in the White House, and that's the only way that we're going to do that.
And keep them there
for
a while long enough to convert these laws. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yes, we need to keep them there long enough to get more independent voters to get more blue representation, as well as blue representation in our government.
Yes, man. Hey, that's actually the last word, because we'll run out of time, you know. Thank you, Eric, for calling. Thank you, everybody, for calling. The final word, Lori.
Hi, Elaine. Good night, everyone.
Right.
David.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk
yes, ma'am.
Soon.
So the final word, Lori. Do you think people go to jail for what happened in East Palestine in Ohio?
No, I do not. I'll be shocked. I will be shocked.
Yeah.
It happened in Michigan.
Yeah.
It will not happen there either. Maybe some. Maybe
yeah.
some schmuck might have to go, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. The small fish. Yes, man. I hope people in Ohio and Flint, Michigan get the justice, because this is unacceptable what's happening. You know, it shouldn't be about money and corporations. People have feelings. They're people. You know, the environment needs protection and everything. Come on. We can do better than this. Don't make it all about money. America's better than that.
It is.
So we'll thank everybody for calling in tonight, tuning in, sharing. Remember, we're on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. I promise your article's coming very soon to the new website, kitchenpolitics123.com. And Rose in Ohio, which is about 20 miles away or less, I don't know. You know, she's nearby, though, she and her family. But safe, okay? Don't drink the water. Make sure you have bottled water. Don't trust these politicians or liars. Till next time.
Yep.
This is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. Everyone have a good, safe evening. Take care, and we'll talk to you Thursday. Bye now. Thank you.
Can you get